that either. Being out in a car accident, I don't want anybody touching me like that.
I love him, but Derek is sometimes guilty of that.
Oh, he gives you a crush and he picks you up?
A little bit. He doesn't pick you up.
He never hugged me like that.
He's got a very strong handshake for one, and I think maybe it's not him with the hugs.
I think he might have given me the low two once, but... A little flicker.
I was like, I think I have to get a cast on my hand, man. Air hug. Yeah, I don't really like to be... I don't like... That's too overzealous.
You know, I think 1,000 awesome things, I could probably think of about 100 offhand. But the horrible things, I could think of at least 900 right away.
That's the way we've been conditioned.
I think maybe... You know, this guy got 60 million hits. Maybe we should do 1,000 horrible things.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's off there. I always wanted to do a horrible story.
I mean, obviously, you got to put things like murder, rape.
Sure.
Pedophilia's got to be all in there, you know?
Yeah, and just remind people why murder's bad, too. Like, a paragraph on why murder's bad. Murder is bad.
Can we please do this as a writing exercise? I think we both need this.
I think we should.
Todd definitely has to be on there.
We can also put a little bit about ourselves and talk about why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Just like... Talk about just the inspiration.
I try to live my life in a very positive, truthful, loving, upbeat manner. This could be a very good way to get rid of some of those demons.
Oh, it's so hard to do it. I have a very hard time living positively now. Very hard time. Very jaded.
I'm jaded, but I still find my positivity.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That means you're still human. I'm like one step away from not being human anymore. But I care. That's the thing.
We're going to have to go find the wizard.
That's the conundrum that Chris Earl has, is I still actually care. But not as much.
You care about things.
I do care about things.
You just don't care about the things that don't matter.
Yeah.
You shouldn't care about. That's where everybody gets caught. They don't have time to care about what's real. They're so caught up in the other stuff.
That's true.
That they're busy caring about.
I'm here with Daniela Capolino, and we are just talking about life, and we're waiting on Mr. Winston Kidd, who should be here any moment, for Watch This. And we'll talk about five movies. We picked five movies today. Kelly's Heroes is one of them. 1941, Patton, Apocalypse Now, and Stripes. We'll wait until Winston comes in.
Stripes is the only one that
he's running
seen.
A little bit late here. And it looks like he just parked. So he'll be here for a couple of minutes. We can talk about a couple more things while we're here. Let's do another awesome thing or another horrible thing. How about something horrible? Like something that happened in childhood? How about when you skin your knees for the first time as a kid? Can you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember a really awful one.
I remember two things that happened to me when I was a kid playing. One was I was riding, and I have a scar on my middle finger on my right hand.
Really?
I was riding a neighbor's big wheel.
Yeah.
And I was dragging my hand alongside myself.
Ooh.
And then I stopped.
Yeah.
And my hand...
Ran over.
I ran over my finger and it punctured my finger with, I don't know, a pebble or something like that. And now I've got a scar on my index finger.
That's awful.
Other one was we were playing hide and go seek. I was behind the bushes in the front of our house. And you know how some basement windows have like a well?
Sure. Yeah, I got them.
In front of them and it's like concrete.
Yeah.
I tried to jump over it and I didn't clear it. And I got like road rash across my thigh.
Awful.
And I see both in my head. I see myself running over my hand in my head. Like, you know, it's like you do those things sometimes where you know it's a bad idea and it's going to, like, you're carrying too much stuff and you know it's going to fall, but you still do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see it slow motion happening. It was like that.
It is. Those are both horrible. Yeah.
Terrible. Now I've got this scar.
These are great examples of horrible things.
Oh, this is another heart. I burned myself with an iron when I was an infant.
My father
worked at a clothing store, and my mother and I went to visit him, and we were in the back room, and she placed me on the counter, and she had one hand on my waist, and she turned to say something to my father, and I decided I needed to be on that side of the counter, and I threw the back of my hand right against the iron, so like I have a scar on three of my fingers.
Oh, my God.
So, I got all these wounds on my hands.
One of the things in Toastmasters, I was in Toastmasters for a number of years, and one of the coaches said at one of the, you would go like twice a year to like annual events for all the other Toastmasters. Yep. One of the speakers there said, turn to somebody and tell them a story about one of your scars. Oh. So it was funny that you had mentioned that.
Yeah.
I got so many. Yeah. I have so many emotional ones inside.
Were you on emotional or physical? Where should we start?
He wanted the physical scar. It was Bicentennial 1976 my first skinned knee that I remember good.
My gosh.
We were watching The Tall Ships.
Yep.
It was me, my mom, my dad, before they got divorced, and my two older brothers.
Yeah.
And that was the big family at the time. So it was 1976. So I was a little guy. You know, I was four. And I remember my dad was so excited about the tall ships. We were right at the Cape Cod Canal, like right at the railroad bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, hurry up, they're coming. And of course, like a little, you know, a little guy, I don't know what's going on, and excited. Yeah. So I started running and I slipped on some sand and I went right down on my left knee, and I still have the scar from it.
Yeah.
4 years old.
Yeah.
You know? And afterwards my mom divorced my dad. I hope that was part of it and the reason why she got divorced. I think that was a piece of it, because he wasn't looking out for his little guy.
Well, anytime,
you know, who knows?
Yeah. Well, anytime I wanted to get back at my mom, I would say, well, you know, and I would just wiggle my fingers at her.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Really, there's some guilt there. Yeah. Let me think of another good one, too. And then this one. Well, I got one where I punched my hand through a plate glass window at 19 because my girlfriend and I
19.
Had gotten into a fight.
That's what
and
you
she
do.
Was cheating on me. And yeah. I was with my friends and we were out in the middle of the night and we mm-hmm. were drinking and I just got mad and I punched the window.
Yeah.
A lot of aggression.
I have one other one. It's not even that interesting, mm-hmm. but I have a scar on the back of my hand here where the paneling on my old Civic, it was like an 87 Civic two-door.
Yes.
The pleather paneling was coming off.
Uh-huh.
I go to get the seatbelt. I reach my arm behind me.
Uh-huh.
I pull it forward, and I literally slice the top of my hand open on this piece of metal. Now, I probably should have gone to the hospital, to be honest with you, but it wasn't super deep. There is a scar. I think I literally just stopped right at the nerve. Because
we should just have a show called Horrible Things with Chris and Daniela. Just horrible things.
We're going to gross you out.
Yes,
ready
yes.
for the second hour?
It's like I'm about to pass out. Oh, my God.
Because there are some times where I will bang the back of the hand right where that scar mm-hmm, is, mm-hmm. And the pain or the sensation is so, like, I must have just barely grazed it. I'm very lucky because I could have done a real good bit of damage there, but luckily I was fat back then, so there was a lot of extra cushion.
I got one for you too.
Yeah.
All right, another one. It's my thumb, right? And it's got a scar on here from the thumb. And this is what happened. I was 13 years old. I'm playing with my buddy Matt over at his house. He had the Nintendo.
Oh yeah, I still have mine.
And I was about 14 maybe. So about 1985 around there.
Yes.
And we were playing Nintendo Wrestling. I think it was pro wrestling.
Oh
like
my
a
God.
Lot of us like
I
that.
I still have that game.
So we were
so
sitting
bad.
There. We're playing and. You know, somebody would do something, and my friend, he always had like guns. He had BB guns and knives, and like he'd have like wrist rockets and throwing stars. So he'd have his knife out, and he'd just be like playing with his knife, flicking it back and forth.
It was like a butterfly
knife. And as a
knife
young guy,
or?
You know, yeah, it was a butterfly knife, and he had like the scissors.
So
out.
1985, by the way.
He had the scissors out, and. I was sitting there, and of course, as a kid with the Nintendo or even the Atari years earlier, you would throw the controller.
Right.
Or if somebody beat you, you'd hit him, you know, if there's your buddy next to him. So I go to like whack him on the leg, and he had the scissors out, and they went right into my thumb. So I hit it with my thumb, and then I pulled back.
The
scissors were still in my thumb.
Oh,
it literally took it out of his hands. They were so embedded in my thumb. And I just looked at him like, what do we do? And his mom was a nurse, so she came upstairs and she just took the thing and just, boom, pulled it right out.
Yeah.
Got the thing and cleaned
really?
It right up, and then I still
got
the scar from it.
You didn't need any stitches or anything like that?
No.
It was in the fleshy?
No, never got it. Yeah. It was, I was like, oh my God, so lucky I didn't do it. It was so nasty, but it was like rent through.
Oh
these are horrible things.
What about bones? Have you broken many bones?
I've broken no bones.
I've only
But I was
one
in
a
bad car accident where my spine is out of alignment. It's, it's basically straight and it should be
I have
curved.
That just from bad posture.
Yeah.
I was diagnosed with scoliosis.
Uh-huh.
Very mild scoliosis. I think it was like by the gym teacher, no less, in third grade.
Yeah.
And nobody ever did anything to that about it. And so now I'm trying to slowly remedy it in my 40s so it doesn't get any worse.
Yeah.
After, you know, all those years of sitting at a desk and having just really bad posture and stuff, it catches up with you. So I'm trying to get my foundation back in order. But
cool.
I broke a collarbone. That was about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wrestling with my brother. I think he grabbed my arm and, like, swung me around. And then the next thing you know, like, I'm on the ground. I'm like, I can't move.
Ugh.
So it was third grade. I had to wear my dad's button-down shirts to school because I couldn't lift my arms.
It's horrible.
And then, you don't realize how much your neck and your head are, you know, like, that collarbone is, like, right there. And so
you don't appreciate your health until something's wrong with you.
No,
man,
really alive.
Don't.
And in order to get into bed at night, my mom had to put a pillow flat against my back and literally slowly lower me into bed.
It's horrible.
For the first couple of weeks, and then I was eventually able to, like, roll over because it was my left shoulder, so I could roll out. But, I mean, like, you're in third grade. It's like,
it's horrible.
Boy,
I was living in Texas. This one didn't happen to me. This was my brother's friend. He had a sister, and he grabbed her by the arms and was swinging her around, right?
Like in Airborne? Like
he
like,
lost her and she hit a brick wall.
Oh my God. Oh
horrifying.
Oh my God.
First of all, what are you doing
swinging anybody near a brick wall?
Well, it's like when you're a kid, you grab somebody little
and
swing around.
You don't go, oh, do I have clearance?
He didn't know. He's like 10, you know. Yeah, his sister's like 6 or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you know, she was out of it for a few weeks. Like, she survived, but she took a few good hits on that one. Oh, my God. Yikes. We could do this. We can do just horrible.
Yeah.
What do you guys got? Plenty of horrible things. Winston's at the door, speaking of horrible things.
Shall I run down? You want to throw us up?
No, he would be an awesome thing. Winston's an awesome thing. I totally agreed.
I was like, oh, yeah.
He's at the top door. That's how awesome Winston is. Somehow,
Can you fill the air? I'll go get him.
Yes. Somehow, Winston ended up making his way up. It's like he had like a little lock kit, and he's up at the top door. So Daniel's going to get him right now. I'm going to play a little Cool in the Gang while we get Winston situated in here. You're listening to WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM on your radio dial.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things, and you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle. The show is Watch This, where we talk about movies. But Danielle Capolino is still here, and we're talking about horrible things. Winston Kidd is just getting set up. Hello, Winston.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Welcome back into the studio. Let me put a little something in the background here. I'll put a little Bruno Mars in the background. So Danielle and myself somehow got around to, we were looking up tennis balls, and we were looking up what was actually in the can, which we never found out what was actually in the can, the air in the can, because people were huffing it, apparently. Do you know what's in the tennis can, why people were huffing it?
I worked with somebody back in the day that, I mean, maybe he was just making it up, but I swear to you.
Well, that's the good news. Apparently, it was a thing, or maybe it's not a thing. We don't know. But we're able to find this thing called A Thousand Awesome Things that this guy did. He was a broken man, and he decided to write one thing a day. And he got 60 million hits, he found out later. And he's written a bunch of books, and he basically started talking about positive things. And it came around. He's married happily with two kids now. I don't know what the end of his story is, because he's still alive. It could turn, as you know, life can change things.
This sucks.
So we were coming up with horrible things. Daniela's number one was Christmas, and mine was an unnameable person who's more of a thing than a person. And then we started talking about accidents, because one of the things in Toastmasters, I used to be Toastmaster, as you know, and twice a year I'd usually go to, like, you know, some kind of convention somewhere, and one of the speakers said, okay, turn to your friend and talk about a scar. So that's on you. I'm like, not within you, but like on you. And talk about a physical scar. So Danielle and I were talking about some horrible things.
He looked deep in my eyes and said, Winston, don't go there. We're going physical scars. Don't take us to the emotional.
So let's do a scar, Winston. Do you have a scar story for us? Can you think of a scar? And one of the things, if you need a little help, I said the first time you skinned your knee or whatever. We talked about that too. Right. What do you got?
No, I got it. This happened last year.
Uh-huh. A recent scar.
Oh, wow.
Fresh scar.
Fresh scar.
Yeah, it's relatively fresh. I'm taking my son out to the van in his wheelchair, step on the black ice, start sliding.
We know where this is going.
The wheelchair hits the van.
Oh.
I hit the back of the wheelchair, and I get 10 stitches in my lower shin.
Oh, my God. We didn't know where that was going.
No.
That took a twist, an even worse turn.
That was
horrible.
Like an M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. 10 stitches in the ankle?
In the shin.
In the shin. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, so wow.
I still got the...
Oh, he's pulling it up.
Do I want to look? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I just got chills.
Hold on. I'm going to get that.
He's going to put it on the Instagram. You got to put it on the Instagram.
Yeah. That's bad.
Yep. That is bad.
It was nasty.
That's hardcore, Winston.
Yeah, that is horrible. That would make the 1,000 horrible things, I think. Give us another horrible thing, Winston. Anything come to mind quickly? First thing comes
to
mind.
Something.
Person, place, the thing. What would make the list of 1,000 horrible things?
Well, when your dog dies.
Dog dies. It is a horrible thing. You had a very, very nice dog.
Any pet does.
Very sweet dog.
Oh, I had a...
Yeah.
She was an angel.
Did you have a number of dogs? Is that your first dog? Or you had dogs before?
We grew up with dogs. But that was my first... Freefall was my first dog as an adult. And she lasted with us for about 14 years, and then she passed away. And it was kind of tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to
That's horrible.
Pet.
That makes the list.
That's real. Now we're really keeping it real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to add the smell of fabric softener and Febreze to the list, or any sort of artificial chemical stuff.
That's probably
supposed
behind
to smell
the
clean.
Dog dying.
Yeah. It's definitely like in the 900.
I think we're not ranking them here.
That's in like the 1,000 range.
Trying to lift everybody's spirits.
Yeah, 900 range. But yeah, that's really horrible.
Dead dog is pretty. That's like number one.
I almost don't want to do the horrible things anymore.
It's not number one.
That's horrible.
Christmas is still number one.
Christmas is still number one.
We don't want to go to number one.
How about a nice? I think there's some people coming in. The vacuum, they vacuum and they clean up. How about a nice vacuum drug? That's one of the awesome things, isn't it?
A vacuum drug.
I mean, to clean.
Well, you have 1,000 things. That's like high up on the list. It's like in the 900s, 800s. But that's a nice thing.
Cleanliness is next to God.
A nice vacuum drug versus a nasty rug.
Oh, jeez. My hearing's off. I thought
you said
a vacuum drug.
Oh, a vacuum drug.
What's a vacuum drug?
I don't know,
drug?
But that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
that could go on the awesome list.
It's like Chris is always up on top of stuff.
You know how I like to invent things. A vacuum drug. I think that would probably be the tennis balls, though. But we also learned that it's not a vacuum, right?
No, it's pressurized.
It's pressurized.
Put air inside of it. But we're trying to figure out what that air is.
Yeah. Who knows?
Or was.
But people love the smell of them. as soon as you release it.
That's what was. That's how we found the list.
That's how we found the list. Yeah.
Because he said he likes the smell of the sound of a can of tennis balls opening.
Mm-hmm. That's always a cool sound.
He said it's only second to a soda can or a beer, I think, can opening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That.
I like the sound of a soda can or a beer opening. Yeah, that's always nice. The little poof.
Yeah, Danielle's got that.
How would you spell it? I'd spell it PFFTTT.
I would do KSKTTH.
No. Ooh, that's different. That's all right. Yeah.
No, I would say KSSTT.
Do the sound of a beer opener or a can opener, Winston. His sounds like it's got a C or a K in there. Yeah. How would you do it?
Q U.
Q U. Q U. All right.
S S H.
Q U S S H.
It's X M R Q V.
See, that could be on our awesome thing.
And the X is silent.
Yeah, that could be on our awesome list. Let's do another. Well, do another. Winston, why don't you give me a number and we'll go on to this guy's list.
Oh yeah.
And we will talk about one of his awesome things. We're promoting this guy, Neil.
Number 69.
Number 69. All right. We looked up 666, and it was a child in a devil's outfit.
And then he said, giving people what they want.
Yes, giving people what they want.
Number
666
was.
All right, number 69. Do you think it'll be a sex
clunkers.
Thing? I don't know. This guy doesn't look like a sex guy.
No, we'll I think see. He's pretty much above the board.
We'll see.
Belt, all right. If you will.
I'm stuck in the comment section. Here we go.
I once broke up with somebody, and as a healing thing, somebody told me I should write a list of the things that I look for in a man from, you know, going forward in your next
that's a nice thing
relationship. And I'm like, that's like 100 things. And I'm like, that's great. Except now I have a list of wonderful things that I will never find in anybody.
Yes, in a fake person.
Because that guy doesn't exist.
That guy does not exist.
Fantasy land.
Exactly. But good exercise.
I hate to say this, but I thought you were going to say, and this is where I went with that, was I broke up with a guy over a number 69. Which I'm sure has happened to somebody
at
some point
in
life. Because it was a horrible thing, apparently. It was done wrong. Games you made up while you were a kid. That's what he has.
Oh, yeah.
So that is kind of an awesome thing. Let's turn off the TV, put away the board games, toss a deck of cards in the trash. Time to make up some games you played as a kid. He talks about three of them called Erupting Volcano, Kitchen Rock Band, Indoor Baseball, Cardboard Roll Sword Fights, any game involving leftover cardboard, a store. And he has tons of paragraphs on this for some reason. How about a game you made up when you were a kid? You got one of you guys?
I mean, it's always the lava floor. Got to stay on the cushions.
Lava floor,
You got to stay on the cushions of the couch kind of thing.
Hopping from couch to couch to couch to chair or whatever. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that was a good one.
Let me see. We used to have all these woods in the back. And so as kids, we'd go and we'd play flashlight tag when it started to get dark.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if somebody caught you
with the flashlight,
you know, got you with the flashlight beam, then you owed them a sexual favor.
Really?
What?
As a child? How old were you? You're like, we're 21.
Right?
I was the oldest, of course.
He's like, whoever got caught with the flashlight had to buy beers. It's like, how old were you when you were playing this?
Games you made up. See, I'll tell you one we didn't make up that I loved. It was one of the first games that I did in like a community with kids I didn't even know. It was Kick the Can. I went down the Cape when I was in Pawcatchet and Bourne, there were all these kids. I didn't even know who they were.
Yeah,
you know, they were on vacation
kids,
or whatever for a week or two. I remember playing Kick the Can, which was awesome. But one of the games that we did, too, we used to play War, and we would be up and we would actually pull bedposts off of the bed that looked like pineapples. So we tossed them like grenades, and it was so much fun. And then when we got yelled at by a parent, we basically said the enemy won, and then the game was over.
We did a lot of hide and go seek. We played another game called Ghosts in the Graveyard.
What's that?
Ooh, what's that?
Where I wish I could kind of remember what it was. It was like hide and go seek, but it was different. And I'll see if I can try and Google it. I'm not of any help. You played it.
You played it
when the sun would go down, so it was dark.
Yeah. Did you guys ever go to a graveyard when you were a kid or try to sleep over in a graveyard?
No, but I had guys like in high school who had car, like a car would take us to the graveyard to try to scare the girls in the back seat type thing. Because he had a horn that was like not on the wheel. It was underneath the console, like so he could hit it with his knee or his foot. So we'd go in the graveyard and like he'd be like, did you guys hear that? He had like a big white Bronco. This was like pre-OJ. And then he'd start like beeping the horn and like flicking the lights because he had controls on the floor that we didn't know about trying to scare us. I never fell for it because I knew he was full of crap. But yeah, that was the extent of my graveyard.
Is this guy out of prison yet?
I think he drives a tow truck for a living, if that helps you.
There was a Christmas Eve where my brother and I, my brother Russell was my oldest brother. I was about, I'd say this is 77, so it was about six. No, I was seven.
This is what it is. Sorry. Hide and go seek, but opposite. So instead of everybody hiding and one person finding everybody, it's one person hides and then everybody has to go find that one person.
All right.
It's the player who finds the ghost hiding spot yells, "Ghost in the graveyard," to alert the other people.
That's cool. So yeah, Christmas Eve, my brother and I, for some reason, we ended up, he had like an eye patch and we had like some old like, I think it was like a muffin can. Like you used to have those muffins, you blow it up and we put them on our hands and we were pirates. And we grabbed like we made swords and like we got all dressed up. And what's funny is we actually have a picture of us like on Christmas Eve, like dressed as pirates for some reason. And so that was kind of fun.
Any day as good as any.
That was a fun little game. See, that is an awesome thing. I guess it's kind of fun to talk about awesome things,
too.
There
were also other games that, like, I wasn't really down for. There were more the boys got into this game where they would ride their bikes around the basketball court, and the object of the game was to kick each other off the bicycle. And, no, I didn't play that one.
Yeah, we had one similar to that where we would ride bicycles. Around, and you just, everybody's riding the bicycle, and you were trying to cut the other person's back wheel off so he fell.
Right, that's basically what this was. It was like kick it, stick a spoke in the wheel. I was like, oh my god,
stick a stick in the wheel.
Yeah, it was like very Mad Max.
See, that's a horrible thing right there.
I was like, I don't think I like
a stick in the bicycle wheel.
I wasn't down for that. I was like, I'll be over on the swings if anybody needs me. It's more my speed.
Well, I'll tell you what we can do here. Usually we're doing Watch This and we're doing movies, but I do have two quizzes because I knew both of you were going to be here. Maybe we'll do the quizzes and we could talk about whatever. We can talk about the movies or we'll talk about whatever.
Hey, man, you are running the ship and I'm just here to...
We're having fun. I like when you guys come in and you guys are guests. I'd rather be chatting.
I'm happy to have
chatting
to be
and on the air.
Heck yeah.
And having some fun. So let's we can continue on with some more awesome things or some horrible things. I'll tell you something, though. I think the conversation almost came to a dead halt with the dead dog. That's a tough one to beat. That's a tough one. That's hard. That's like in the sadness list. That's like in the
That's bad.
Right after Christmas, it's horrible. But I mean horrible. And as I always say, if I could do it all again, I wouldn't. even with all the knowledge, I don't think I'd want to do this again. I'm all set. I feel like I'm an old soul. Like I've done this so many times and I've gotten it wrong like every single time. And I'm at this point, it's all right. I'm used to it. But, but as a middle-aged guy now, I'm like, you know what? It just seems, and this is something we were talking about with like what's planned. It's like you have to go to school. You have to get a job. You have to get married. You have to have kids. All these things that are thrown at you, not only by family members, but also, friends, society,
all of it.
And it's just like we were talking about earlier, like teenagers, and I mentioned going to learn like a trade, and we mentioned, Danielle mentioned her school kind of had like trades as well as regular academics, requirements and academics. And like, I think that's super important. It's like, because there's things that you don't know, and you grow up and, it's like you need to learn how to fix a toilet, how to work on your car, you need to know all those things.
I replaced the inside of my toilet.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I did this week? I replaced a medicine cabinet. I did all the electrical work and I put up a nice new medicine cabinet. It's beautiful.
That works.
Yeah. It's like years ago, nobody would want,
We need to get all of that shop back into school.
I think so. It's huge.
They tore my whole high school down and they put up a brand new multi-million dollar school in its place, which we affectionately refer to it as Google Campus.
Yeah.
Because that's what it looks like to me. It's like big glass front now. And they got rid of all of those things that I mentioned earlier. They got rid of the auto body and auto mechanics, and they've been replaced with robotics and engineering now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I went to, in the summertime, I went to the Tech.
Which is still a skill.
And I got to try out five different trades, which is cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we had drafting. One, that was one of them. We had one that
was graphic design and drafting.
I did hairdressing.
Oh,
I actually got the award for guy.
Nice.
You know, there was still male and female there, but I won for guy for.
Where did you do this?
This was a Shawshank Tech. They had like a little program.
At first, and it was an 8th to 9th grade.
Shawshank Redemption. Shawshank Prison.
And I was like, oh,
I learned
is that
this at Shawshank Prison. I learned license plates and plumbing.
I mean, that's what they do, right? Don't they teach them skills?
Yes, human plumbing. No, but I did that, so it had automotive and some other. It was pretty cool, actually. Yeah. I liked it, but I ended up not going to the Tech and just, you know, went to the regular high school.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people went to the Tech and they loved it, you know, and they learned.
Good
and the
stuff.
Thing is you learn, you know, some people learn a trade and then they never do anything with it, but it's like,
but
yeah,
some
I went
people,
to, college
go to college
and it's like,
and they don't do anything
I didn't do
with
what
it.
I did with it, pretty much. It became hobby away.
Right.
You know, I got into customer service and database stuff, and I mean, I went for, you know, film and communications and comparative literature.
Right.
It's like, what am I going to do? Talk about Milton to everybody? Like, you don't get paid for that unless I'm living over in England and I'm a professor, you know?
Right, exactly.
But, anyway, in the background is some Prince. We're just talking about awesome and horrible things. And I'll give you guys the film quizzes and maybe we'll play some trailers, talk about the movies a little bit. We'll just wing it. We'll wing it.
Sounds good.
I think of all the war movies I've seen, I think Great Escape is maybe the only one.
Great Escape's a great movie.
That's a great
movie.
Yeah,
we didn't come up
with
that one on our list. That's a great, great flick.
Otherwise, I don't watch a whole lot of...
Steve McQueen,
awesome list.
Yeah.
He'd be in my 1,000 awesome things.
James Garner's in that as well. There's a ton of people in that one.
Yep.
Now, was that the basis? Is that why they came up with Hogan's Heroes? Is that where the foundation for that or the bug for that idea came from? Because they're sort of similar. I mean...
That is possible.
Aren't they both
I thought there was some kind of a relation between them, but I don't know which one. I know The Great Escape is actually loosely based upon an actual
POW
event.
Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the same with Hogan's Heroes.
Because
the Hogan's Heroes is 65 to 71. The Great Escape was 63. So, I'm pretty sure, you know.
Although Hogan's Heroes is a far cry from Great Escape, is far more like serious and like refined.
Let's have funny Nazis. Let's have silly Nazis.
It's on like every night now.
And a cross-dresser, Bob Crane.
It's on.
Was he a cross-dresser?
I think he was supposed to be. No, he was into like
he
S&M.
Was into
stuff.
S&M.
He was the fetish guy.
Yeah.
The guy from Hawaii 5-0 was the cross-dresser.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
All right, Winston.
I think they're all cross-dressers.
Bruce Jenner, awesome list or horrible list?
I think Bruce.
Bruce Jenner, awesome list. Caitlyn Jenner, horrible list.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
There we go.
I mean, is everyone forgetting the part where he killed somebody in a car crash?
Yes.
Did he not? I mean, like, what happened to that? They just, like, glossed right over that.
Yep. What ended up happening? Gave $1,000 to the widow? Or
is that what it is?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
I don't know.
Crazy.
Yeah. The same thing, like, a lot of... There's been other people, too. Like, Matthew Broderick has killed somebody in an accident.
Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker's in the car with him, too.
And Brandy, the singer, she rear-ended somebody on the highway and killed somebody.
I know.
Yeah.
Really?
Sorry, I just realized what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they just, you know, onward and forward with your career.
Well, yeah. Cause
they're part of the elite.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Rules don't apply to them. No. Well, at least not the same way.
Right. True that.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, we'll play the Kelly's Heroes trailer, and we'll talk a little bit about Kelly's Heroes. It's Watch This / Time Travel / Keeping It Real here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. What was the other one we were going to call it? We had another one, too.
Yeah.
Horrible Things.
Horrible Things.
Horrible Things. But here we go.
I feel like there's already a show called that, though.
We'll be right back. So I'm going to play the Kelly's Heroes, and then we'll talk a little bit about this movie here.
Great movie.
Them, we don't get the gold.
What gold?
Proposition. Think you might be interested in helping me out.
Oh.
I want you to set up a barrage for me.
Yeah.
If you whisper one word about the gold to these guys, I'm gonna have you bounce from this outfit so fast your feet won't even touch the ground.
Okay, Kelly.
What is it?
I want the intelligence reports of this whole sector, and I need them in the next 2 hours.
That's nice. What's in it for me?
It's behind enemy lines.
I got 3 Shermans outside.
His name's Hardball.
A Sherman can give you a very nice edge.
These are my boys.
It's still up. No, it ain't. Look, baby, I'm kind of hung up. I need about 60 feet of bridge.
Listen, kid, they haven't got your back in a nut ward again, have they?
I don't need you. 60 feet of bridge I can pick up almost anywhere. Schmuck.
All right. I need at least 100 guys. Where do I find 100 men just like that?
Loudball better show up, Kelly.
Come on, let's move it up.
But my hair is still in curls.
Oh, sure, I'm gonna rupture you with this thing.
Hey, nobody said anything about schlepping his 30 caliber machine gun all over the country.
I'll make you $50 if you carry the machine gun, huh?
Fire!
I thought you said 3 Shermans.
Those nuts have brought half the army with them.
What is this? Hey, what is this, a ball game? Who are these guys?
My friends, the big.
And who's that bunch of refugees over there?
The band.
The band? What do we need a band for?
Beautiful little face, Pep. Game, they're beautiful. Great move.
You see, we're just a private enterprise operation.
Those freaks! That ain't an army, it's a circus!
It could be the perfect crime.
Oh yeah? Watch this.
Watch what?
Talk about Kelly's Heroes a little bit. It wasn't originally on a 5 that we had picked out today, but I know this is one of your favorites, Winston. Tell me a little bit about Kelly's Heroes.
It has an all-star cast.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Eastwood, Telly Savalas, Don Rickles, Donald Sutherland. And it tells the story of a group of guys who were on leave who found out about German gold in a bank just behind enemy lines and decide to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet. And Donald Sutherland plays a character called Oddball. And Oddball is the leader of a squad of 3 Sherman tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Who hears about it and, you know, asks in. And so they bring his tanks in, figuring they could use some armor. And then he needs a bridge. So he calls a friend, and the guy brings, he's a CB unit, and he brings a bridge. And they have to face off against 3 Tiger tanks in a town. And they do a really good job. It's a light movie. It's funny. A lot of great lines in that. Donald Sutherland steals the show.
Does he?
He's great. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Donald Sutherland. He's fantastic.
As Oddball, he just... some of the lines to that is like, always with the negative waves, Moriarty. Always with the negative waves.
Yeah, he plays the hippie soldier. And it's funny, I was watching like a roast with... it was honoring Clint Eastwood in like the early 2000s, and Don Rickles shows up and he's like, years ago, back in 1970, we did Kelly's Heroes. It's 28 years later, and I've never heard from you since then. And here I am giving you a Lifetime Achievement Award. And he's like, here's 2 words for you. Call me. Pretty good.
That's great.
Yeah.
This is great.
It's a fun movie. Did you see this one in the theater?
I did not.
No.
I saw it on the small screen.
Uh-huh.
And the and I love the background is the theme song for the movie. And
oh, is that what this is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, in the background, this is the theme song from the movie.
It's a great tune.
It's very 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one came out right in 1970. It cost $5 million to make. It made $6 million, so they made a little bit of money back.
Yeah, it was very underrated. But it still has a cult following today.
Mm-hmm. What I like, too, is you have Donald Sutherland and you have Telly Savalas in this. And also, they were in the Dirty Dozen, which was one of the ones that we
picked for today. Yeah.
And that's
with
just
Lee Marvin.
Yeah, just a completely different type of war movie.
Oh, yeah. Very dark.
Yeah, really dark. They call this one of the most sadistic movies ever made, is the Dirty Dozen. Let's play a little clip from that, too. I'm going to, we'll play out a little bit of Kelly's Heroes, and we'll play the trailer for Dirty Dozen. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Oh, I've never read the synopsis. I just read it.
For Kelly?
Yeah, for Dirty Dozen.
Oh.
No wonder they're called the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them, we don't get the gold.
What gold?
Proposition. Like you might be interested in helping me out.
Oh.
I want you to set up a barrage for me.
Yeah.
If you whisper one word about the gold to these guys, I'm gonna have you bounce from this outfit so fast your feet won't even touch the ground.
Okay, Kelly. What is it?
I want the intelligence reports of this whole sector, and I need them in the next 2 hours.
That's nice. What's in it for me?
It's behind enemy lines.
I got three Shermans outside.
His name's Oddball.
A Sherman can give you a very nice...
Major Reisman. You are ordered by Allied Command to select 12 general prisoners... convicted by courts-martial and sentenced to be executed or serve lengthy prison terms for murder, rape, robbery, and other crimes of violence. And you will deliver them secretly behind enemy lines in France to undertake a mission of sabotage that could change the course of the war. The 12 men will be known as the Dirty Dozen.
Lee Marvin as Major John Reisman.
There's a little of Major Reisman in every man, says Marvin. Tough and unyielding, yet compassionate. I think it's the best role I've ever been asked to play.
You've all volunteered for a mission which gives you just three ways to go. Either you can foul up in training and be shipped back here for immediate execution of sentence, or you can foul up in combat, in which case I will personally blow your brains out, or you can do as you're told, in which case you might just get by.
Now you hold it right there. This war was not started for your private gratification, and you can be damn sure that this army isn't being run for your personal convenience either.
Ernest Borgnine as General Warden.
I'm tired of seeing generals portrayed as desk-bound pen pushers, says Borgnine. So I've played Warden as a rough professional soldier.
Robert Ryan as Colonel Everett Dasher Breed.
There were officers like Breed, says Ryan, who could never suffer the rules broken or even bend a little.
Major Reisman's compliments, sir.
Tell him what it's for.
You prefer to be captured or destroyed?
Jimmy Brown as Napoleon Jefferson.
Jefferson is any man fighting for recognition against the odds, says Brown. I think I understand him pretty well.
The hell of it!
John Cassavetes as Victor Franco.
Says Cassavetes. Franco is a petty hoodlum forced to heroism by circumstances beyond his control.
We go on that mission, we all get killed. That's what they want! That's what they want!
Trini Lopez as Jimenez.
He's crawling with hate.
Charles Bronson as Vladislav.
The last guy in the world you'd expect to be a hero.
Telly Savalas as Archer Maggot.
Maggot is a maniac, says Savalas. His religious fanaticism can never be moderated or quelled. It is a constant danger. Clint Walker as Samson Posey, an Indian with war paint smeared on his soul. Train them. Excite them. Arm them. And turn them loose on the Nazi high command.
First of the five flicks that we officially picked today is The Dirty Dozen. It's a 1967 American war film directed by a guy named Robert Aldrich, released by MGM, starring Lee Marvin. And, of course, we went through that list there in the trailer. Ernest Borgnine, Charles Bronson, Jim Brown, John Cassavetes, who's fantastic, and Telly Savalas, Robert Ryan, Robert Weber, and Donald Sutherland. It was based on a novel of the same name that was inspired by a real group of people called The Filthy 13. And in 2001, the AFI placed the film at number 65 on their 100 Thrills list. 100 years, 100 Thrills list. So again, set in 1944 during World War II. And we pretty much have a war theme going on here today. And the background is the soundtrack to The Dirty Dozen, the main theme. It cost $5.4 million to make, and it made $45.3 million. This was in 1967, so it was a huge hit for MGM. And it's got a 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb. So again, the plot is during World War II, rebellious U.S. Army major assigns a dozen convicted murderers to train and lead them into a mass assassination mission of German officers. I just rewatched this movie last night. Winston and I were talking about it yesterday. I rewatched it last night. And what I kind of love about this movie is it has like this three-act theme to it. You have the introductions of the characters the first hour. You have them training in the second hour, and then in the third hour you get the mission. It's 2.5 hours long, but it's really a cool movie, and that last hour is so intense and so crazy.
Yeah.
And it was called one of the most sadistic movies of all time because of the amount of manliness and fighting and the fact that
violence.
They're burning people. And yeah. It's crazy. This is like right when the pose is being done. But it is also a very patriotic movie and a great war movie.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this one, Winston. What do you know about Dirty Dozen?
I think it's the standard theme that's been picked up a lot. You see it in some of the superhero movies now. Suicide Squad did the same kind of thing where you take people who are theoretically irredeemable and then you give them the impossible task so they find a way to be redeemed.
Yes.
And when they went through, and Lee Marvin was talking to each of them, most of them, they tried to kind of give you a little bit of some kind of redeeming grace for them.
Exactly.
As he went talking through, like, I forget the name of the guy who was the big guy who basically punched
Ernest Borgnine?
Who punched a guy and killed him.
Oh, in the movie?
Yeah.
Mike Tyson?
No. No, he's the Indian chief.
Yeah.
He's the Indian guy, and he punches him and kills him, right?
You just punched the guy. He got upset, punched the guy, and killed him.
Yeah. And Telly Savalas plays one of the craziest people you will ever see in
Telly
a movie.
Telly Savalas, yeah.
Yeah, he's like
he's
way
totally,
over the top.
Totally
but
irredeemable.
He's great. He's creepy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you should see this movie, Daniela. If you haven't seen this one, it's...
I haven't watched a lot of war movies.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars. But.
It's pretty crazy, yeah. I hadn't seen The Dirty Dozen for a number of years, and I had first seen it for the first time about maybe 10 or 15 years ago. So this one was kind of late on my list for, popular movies that were war movies that I hadn't seen, but rewatching it again last night, it's like, wow, it's like there was so much in it that I hadn't remembered either. And they had the cooperation of the U.S. Army with this entire movie, and that doesn't really happen that much anymore. You probably can't get that done at all anymore.
Well, last time that happened was John Wayne in the Green Berets.
Mm-hmm. They have all kinds of tanks, and they have this castle that they literally destroy. And the last hour of the movie is just super, super tense, and they actually show, like, the Nazis, and they show them getting ready to kill them, and they're going to burn them like alive, and it's crazy. That's why
I'm going
to
put this on my list of 1,000 horrible things.
Roger Ebert said it was probably one of the most sadistic movies he had ever seen.
Maybe it's not on my list to watch.
But they don't show it. But there is there is the tension there.
Well,
do show the explosions, but it's like it's pretty crazy because they actually show the people like locked up in the cellar.
So they leave as you the heroes as the imagination. Yeah, the heroes. Are basically going fill in to the kill blank, them. So they're not actually showing you the outward violence, but it's there.
And what they do is the end is where James Brown is dropping grenades down the air vents to where the people are
in the bomb
locked
shell.
In the bomb shelter.
And the bomb and
there's
shelter.
There's bombs. There's also explosives down there.
Yeah, so it's just detonating. And
they show, they basically use that to showcase Jim Brown's talent.
Yeah, he runs. He runs.
Running.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And he looks good. He's looking good when he's running. He's pretty intense.
Was this one of his earlier movies?
Yeah, I think this was his first movie.
His first movie. I only know him from the wonderful I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
That's
the first and only time I think I've seen Jim Brown in a movie.
Everybody's great in it.
My buttons are killing
Telly Savalas is fantastic in it. Jim Cassavetes was... John Cassavetes. He was nominated for Academy Award for it. He's fantastic in it. And Donald Sutherland's one of his earlier movies, too, and he's great in it.
But Telly Savalas, when you look at the creep he plays so convincingly here, and then for him to go play Kojak.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, he's like, got incredible Kojak. Range.
Yeah, he's amazing in this movie. And like you mentioned, the Suicide Squad, basically years later, a comic book came out in like the 80s, and then, of course, the movie came out a couple of years ago. And it's the exact same thing, except hyped up times 10, It really is. And the way they go on this mission, what I kind of like, and what, even though you have people saying, it's over the top, super violent, and this, it's a well-loved movie, and I look at it as... They're anti-heroes. They're not heroes. They're anti-heroes. They're awful people.
Right.
Like so Seinfeld. They are pretty much...
Which is why in the end...
Irredeemable.
Only two of them survive, and those were the two that... one was the guy who shot his lieutenant because he believed that the guy was... He was going AWOL. And he thought he was protecting everybody. And that's the guy, Lee Marvin, looked at him and said, "You only made one mistake."
Right. You got caught. They all have a story. They all have a story, though. There's a couple of them that are just completely crazy, like Telly Savalas, but they all have a story where they're innocent. But you can tell that they're all,
broken.
Hard killers.
John Cassavetes was married to Jenna Rollins. I did not know that.
Who's Jenna Rollins?
You ever see The Notebook? I mean, I can't figure out how to tell you who Jenna Rollins is.
Yeah, she was in The Notebook.
She's been in a ton of stuff.
Here she is right here.
Oh, there we go.
She was also in The Skeleton Key, Woman Under the Influence, Hope Floats.
Skeleton Key. That was scary.
She plays like a cantankerous grandmother a lot now. I feel like a southern grandmother or southern...
Oh, she was good in The Skeleton Key then.
Yeah.
She was really good in that.
The other piece of that third act play that comes out in this movie, like the second half, when they're doing the training and they're going up against the other army platoon, that part's pretty awesome because you're rooting for, these losers and they finally all got together. And that's really, the fun part of the movie when they're actually doing the training exercise. And that's like the lightest part of the movie. But they pretty much have an interesting part where, you have all these people at the beginning and Lee Marvin is like super over the top in the beginning, just coming down on them hard. And they basically are going to get, their sentences revoked if they do this mission with him.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he plays it pretty hard with them.
And if any of them back out, they're all done.
Exactly. So that's why he keeps all 12 of them, including super crazy Telly Savalas.
Okay.
But not to spoil it too much, but Telly Savalas comes along the way and he does something that can seriously screw up the mission.
Oh.
And everything that happens in the mission at the end go, everything that can and will happen does, but so many things go wrong, and they have to make amends for it. And like I said, it's similar to a Suicide Squad, except more of a body count on this one, and more of the squad gets offed.
Huh. And it's funny. I feel like you'd think it would be opposite, where like things seem to be nowadays is the more extreme sometimes.
Yeah. The one critique I have is they do a pretty good job with the first hour, like getting to learn like the real major characters of the 12. But if you blink, you're going to miss a few of them getting killed off at the end of the movie.
Gotcha, yeah.
There's a couple of moments like there's the guys they're basically trying to get back with the squad, and they're trying to link up with them and cross the river, and you blink and they're gone. And it's like, and they were major characters in the movie, and they just kind of get rid of them quick. But they focus on a couple of
the
other ones.
They realized the movie was running closer to 3 hours. You know what? We don't have a time for a 10-minute. We gotta cut your death scene to about 30 seconds if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. This is Watch This right now. We're talking about five flicks today. Our first one we're talking about officially is The Dirty Dozen from 1967. And I've got another clip on here from the next movie. We'll play a little bit from 1970s Patton, and we'll talk about that in a moment. My guests today, Winston Kidd and Daniela Capolino, are here with me. And thanks for listening to your freeform station, WMFO, here in Medford.
Seated. I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. Amen. All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle. When you were kids, you all admired the champion marble shooter, the fastest runner, big league ball players, the toughest boxers. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war. Because the very thought of losing is hateful to Americans. Now, an army is a team. It lives, eats, sleeps, fights as a team. This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap. The bilious bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating.
Now, we have the finest food and equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, my God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel. Now, some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty.